Good people, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, your Monarchs proudly bring to you Monarchs of Professional Wrestling, Monarchs of Wrestling, episode 102. There's a few things that we need to discuss in this particular episode. We had All Out. We did have some interesting happenings on Homecoming, but where I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm going to say, I told people WrestlePalooza was going to be hot garbage, and I was not excited. And boy, do I look like Negrodamu tonight. So that was hot garbage. Congratulations for giving us a low-rate version of SmackDown or Monday Night Raw and putting it on ESPN and thinking ESPN was going to be happy with that. Great job, guys. If you're not ready to do something, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Playmaker, what's going on, my boy? Can't hear you. You're on mute.
I think you covered everything. You might have a surprise towards the end of the show.
We got a couple of other little things we'll talk about, but yeah, that's the important things so far. So y'all know what it is. We start off with the NXT and A portion of the show. So Playmaker, Homecoming. What you got from the people from Homecoming?
Ooh, if you're a TNA fan or if you're a TNA superstar, I know you did not enjoy Homecoming for NXT. Oh man. Well, we kicked off with Triple H coming back, because if you didn't notice, NXT took place at Orlando, Florida, but not at the Performance Center, at Full Sail, where it all began for NXT. Full Sail University. Triple H came out. Shawn Michaels came out. Triple H talking about something. What if he wants to come back? Shawn Michaels said, then we have a problem. Will Regal comes out. And he said his famous word. The reason why the main roster has this PLE. All of a sudden. Kuma, can you want to do the honors what William Regal said to Triple H and Shawn Michaels?
War games.
That's all he needed to say. It won't be war games on the main roster. It went for William Regal and NXT. Then we kicked off the show with matches with the Women's Tag Team Championship on the line. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss defending against the Colon. If you don't know the members of the Colon, that would be Easy Dane and Tatum Paxley. I think we know who won, all right?
what would my grandma say, Russell? So I expect so.
He fought that tag team match with another tag team match. This one with more interest, but no titles. DIY, known as Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, going against Carmelo Hayes and the TNA World Champion Trick Williams,
aka Trick Metal Ganger.
So those of you want to know, we're talking about NXT Black and Gold against NXT. What would we call this era?
I mean, it's still Black and Gold, really. Black and Gold versus Black and Gold.
Okay.
A Trick Miller game, that's old school.
Trick Miller game won. They defeated DIY.
As they should. It's Trick Miller game, baby. As they should.
They had help from the Miz too.
Skull crushing finale.
And Miller don't miss.
Or as they like to be called in the World SmackDown, Melo Don Miz had to help each other.
So that was interesting. Ethan Page went against Tyler Breeze for the North American title. This is the only time where me and my co-host looked at somebody coming back and we said, you're not winning.
Exactly. And
we would be right. Ethan Page retained. We weren't going to see. Hey, Tyler Breeze, how you going to come back and get a title shot right out the bat? Come on, man. When you return, nobody even knew who you was.
Took the thoughts right out of my mouth. Like, bro, they was already like, who? You did what?
You get no type of reaction when you came out 2 weeks ago.
I mean, he's not nobody you care about. Sorry, but he's not. Sorry, not sorry, as they say.
He had Sami Zayn backstage. He gave some words to Javon Evans. We had the tag team champion, the NXT tag team champions. That group's name escapes me right now. I forgot. Oh, Dark State. Montez Ford showed up. Had some words for them.
Yep.
Then we had the Grayson Waller effect return into NXT, where Oba Femi, the NXT champion, and Ricky Saints were the guests. They spilled some few words back at each other, and then your boy decided he wasn't done with the homecoming just yet. No, the TNA World Champion decided to make another appearance on the show. And still wanted to throw out there that me and Oba, we're not done. You still have something that belongs to me, sir. And then Grayson Waller came up with this brilliant idea. If you're a TNA fan, you might want to don't listen to this part. Grayson Waller said, well, how about this? How about I go have a chat with Ava? Trick Williams, you want your title match with Oba Femi? Okay, I can see that. But right at the same time, how about you put that TNA World title on the line at the same time, and it's a winner-take-all match. Let's do it next week, which would be tomorrow. Guess what? Abe signed off of it. So tomorrow, in the main event on NXT on the CW, Oba Femi, Trick Williams, title versus title, winner-take-all. Want me to go ahead and spoil the fun now, or you want to wait later?
Whatever you want to do, man. However you want to.
I'm going to go ahead and spoil the fun now. I don't see a winner in this match. I think this match gets pushed to No Mercy, and it might become a triple threat match because Ricky Saint already has his number one contraction title match already.
So this is what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to end up the triple threat. Like you said, I think the condition is going to be if you get pinned, you lose your championship.
That'll make things look interesting.
So if
that means the match, let's say, doesn't end.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could keep your belt if you're not involved in it, if you're one of the people that have a belt.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
I can rock with that if they're smart enough to do it that way.
Maybe I'm smarter than them, but that's what I think.
Damian Priest showed up, had some words with Trevion Heights about him getting a shot at the Anthony Pay's North American title. I hate to be brutally honest, sir, but the dumbest part of Homecoming was when you had Sinclair back there trying to, talk to, what's his name? His name escapes me right now.
So what?
His name escapes me. Who was Sinclair was talking to? Dang, his name escaped me. Oh, Dempsey. Charlie Dempsey. And then Bobby Roode came walking in. No music hit. Bobby Roode was saying, like, where's my music? But then she asked him to do the thing. He did the thing that you heard the word chorus. And then she's like, oh my God, it's just like, and she said his name. And you know what name I'm talking about, cool.
Yep.
And he comes busting in out of nowhere, like. I don't know about it. I don't know about most people, but I'm tired of this, to be honest. This is not funny. This is not fun for me.
Way more tired of it in the future.
Bruh, I don't. Just say his name. This dude just magically appears out of
Joe Hendry.
This key, this, it just appears out of the stupidest stuff every week. I'm sorry if I spoil something for you guys, but I can't stand it. I don't know how cool it feels, but I'm like, bro. He's really popping
just because they just need to calm down. Yeah, I think they just need to chill on it. I think it's funny.
And literally, every time you say his name, he pops up. Like, bruh, really? You're not even part of anything major. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm over this. But hey, this is what they want to do with him so far. We'll see how long it works, but I'm over it. Now we get to the main event. Kuma Kingsbury, part of the show.
I was going to say real quick, I think that they're trying to make it, that TNA is trying to be like, okay, we're going to wear it out so that when he go to WWE, he got to do something different.
He packing already at WWE. That man show up every goddamn week.
That's because they're saying his name.
Say his name and he appears. I'm sorry, but hey, I'm sick of it. Like, it's not doing anything for me or for him right now.
Something, I'm a little shocked, but something tells me it's no surprise. Playmaker's not on board.
No, I'm not. You know when it started, right? You can thank Hank and Tank for this. He just showed up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he's involved in the match. Like, what? Yo.
Hank and Tank. Well, you know, reason number 5,799 that Hank and Tank should be booted away forever. But
like, come on, you can't nobody say you now, Joe Hendry, and then he just pops up. Like, are you serious? Anyway, main event. Well, they did have Lexus King in the ring before the main event, talking trash about Miles Bourne. And then we got the smiling Finn Balor in the NXT. Cool.
We got Prince Devitt Finn Balor. We got the Prince.
That was fine. Seeing Lexus King take a coup de grace and get beat up by Bourne. And then we get to the main event. Like I said earlier, Kuma Kane's favorite moment of homecoming. Play to influence all three ladies. Jasmine Nitz, Valen Henley, and the NXT Women's Champion, JC Jane, taking on the team of Rhea Ripley, Stephanie Vaquera, and Lyra Valkyrie, because Tiffany Stratton was put in concussion protocol because of what happened on Friday. And I seen it soon. I seen it soon it happened too.
Yeah, it took a little luster off having Lyra be the one to fill in. Like if it was Bailey, that would have been amazing. But yeah,
I knew Tiffany had a concussion as soon as he did that spot. That's why it's called Hag Race, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how great they are, gravity is undefeated.
Playmaker wrestling's fate. How could somebody get hurt?
Gravity is undefeated. Hey, what's up, Ryan? Good to see you. Gravity is undefeated. So when her head hit that mat on the floor, I knew it was like, yeah, she might be concussed.
What's up, Ryan? That's the gentleman. Ryan says, gentleman. And then he says, hey, it's still real to me, darn it. Laugh out loud. But he didn't say darn it. I think I get the picture.
So we had this matchup, and people were trying to make fun of Boogie T, but I don't know if you can make fun of Boogie T on that instance, because Rhea Ripley joins Stephanie Vaquera in giving a devil's kiss to Fatal Influence.
I feel Booker T 100%. That was a magical moment.
Vince Joseph's over there waving Booker T down like Booker T is overheating or something.
Hey, if you're going to overheat, there are worse moments you could overheat off of. I'm just saying. If you smell what I'm cooking.
And thank you, Lyra Rocker, for playing your part in making sure that Fallen Henley was not to interfere in this double kiss. And then Jesse Jane tried to escape money because she didn't want to feel that wrath, all that brutality. But she forgot she has a number one contender that's in the back waiting for her opportunity, which probably made Kuba King smile even more because Lola Vice decided to say, where do you think you're going? Mm-hmm. Wearing all black, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Gave JC Jane that spinning backhand. Oof, that had to hurt. Right into a devastating riptide for the 1-2-3. Rhea Ripley, Vaquera, and Valkyria with the dub to end NXT Homecoming. Bleach Report gave Homecoming a B+, sir.
I think I would probably go in the B- range for Homecoming. I would still say B, but I think B+ is a little high.
Your thoughts on Homecoming before you slide over to TNA, who took the social media in tears and anger because it's a winner-take-all match and it doesn't involve a team.
Well, you can talk about that because what we'll have to do this week is we'll actually be previewing the TNA upcoming pay-per-view. But the only thing I got to say about NXT Homecoming is they did a fairly good job. I thought there were some places where they could have did more and had some more people on there, like big editor that they did not even have a place for. So I think it was a couple more things they could have done. But, you know, overall, it is what it is. I say it like that.
I got you. You said TNA has a
Victory Road.
Victory Road. We on the road to victory. We on the road to victory.
I'm not taking a bit on that one. All right. So we have some matches that have been announced.
I'm surprised you remember that. That's how long it's been. Because I remember it's one of my favorite cartoons of all time.
Mm-hmm. We have some matches already in place for Victory Road. I'm sure TNA will throw another match out there because that's what they do. But we'll just go over some of the matches that are there. I don't have the order of the matches. I don't even think TNA knows the order of the matches yet. They may, but let's do it this way. So we're going to have Ash by Elegance defending the Knockouts world title against Masha Slamovich at Victory Road. Who, sir, do you have winning said match between Masha Slamovich and Ash by Elegance?
Cole Jones are going to hate me.
The Elegance brand will still run the Knockouts division.
I agree with that. For better or for worse, we're stuck with them for a little bit of time.
Elegance brand.
Then we have faction leaders colliding at Victory Road.
Ooh, faction leaders. Mm-hmm. Who are the leaders?
The leader of the system against Mustafa Ali, leader of Order 4. If Moose does not win this match, TNA should all be flogged as a group. Everybody who has anything to do with creative should be flogged if Moose does not win this match. The system got like 70 people. Of course, I'm really exaggerating, but they got the numbers advantage on work for. So Moose should win this. Your thoughts, sir?
I don't think nothing else need to be said. I mean, come on.
Let me do something. I gotta. Something different here. It's not giving me what I need.
It's not giving you what you need. How dare the internet? How dare they that reject you from your material?
Dirty internet. All right. Victory Road 2025.
They're not playing fair.
All good.
And ladies and gentlemen, why is he doing that just like last week? Guess what? I'll be watching live starting right now. That's right.
Monday Night Raw, because it's on right now. Oh, and by the way, Kuma Kane, they I think they heard you last week and decided to say bleep you, okay? Because guess who's on Monday Night Raw?
Bleep me.
Guess who's on Monday Night Raw? Just take a guess.
It's the Usos, sir.
No.
That's my guess.
That's your guess? Who's the one person you don't want to see on Monday Night Raw?
That's my guess. Cody Rhodes. No,
they're doing the video. The video things like they always do. But the word came down, Cody Rhodes is there on Monday Night Raw. Oh, this is great. I said, oh, Kuma King's going to love this. Cody Rhodes is on Monday Night Raw.
That'd be somebody I don't want to see. Yeah, that'd definitely be somebody I don't want to see. All right, also on Victory Road, now that I have everything back up here, we have Mike Santana versus Ridge Holland.
When did Red Hollis
get there? Mike Santana is the only person in this match that actually matters.
Oh, when did Red Hollis get there?
We're gonna go. You know, they got the thing with WWE. I think he's still signed to one of the WWE brands.
I ain't like seen Rich Holland in who knows NXT. How long.
He's like on Evolve or something. I don't know. He's on something with WWE.
Man, he's learning how to be
safer in the ring, I guess.
You're losing the mindset.
Exactly. Exactly. We also have a TNA World Knockouts Tag Team Championship match. We have the rest of the Elegance brand, Heather by Elegance and M by Elegance, against the Inspiration, Cassie Lee and Jesse McKay. I'm going to go with Elegance brand doing a clean sweep and winning this match as well. Does that only make sense? I think the Inspiration will end up winning the Knockouts Tag Team Championship at some point, but I don't think it's going to be it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to reread it, what I said. Did Elegance brand continue to run the Knockouts division?
Mm-hmm. And we have TNA International Championship match. Steve Macklin. By the way, if you haven't looked already, I would definitely recommend looking at the TNA International Championship. To me, it's the best looking championship in TNA. So we got Steve Macklin versus Frankie Kazarian. This is the biggest toss-up on the card to me, just for the simple fact they haven't really done much with Steve Macklin that requires him to be champion. Kazarian hasn't held a belt for a while, so I'm going to do something crazy, and I'm going to go against what I would normally say, and I'm going to say Kazarian wins the match because, I mean, why not? He's been begging and doing everything he can to get some gold, so why not get the international championship? I'm going to go with Frankie Kazarian getting a win. Why not? I don't have a lot of faith, but I'm going to go with it.
I agree.
About you, sir?
I agree. I was too busy watching Rusev intimidate Dom.
Then we have a TNA X Division Championship match as well. Excuse me. Leon Slater is the champion. Is going to be facing off against Myron Reed. Gonna go with Slater because he's won the championship recently, and I feel like TNA likes to keep the championships on people for a few minutes. So I'm gonna go with Leon Slater winning this.
Leon Slater for the
ladies and gentlemen. There's the completeness of the card for Victory Road. There was a lot of talk that was going to be the match between Mike Santana and Trick Williams, but remember, they already set up that other match on NXT, which caused them to go a different direction and pivot and have Mike Santana fight Ridge Holland. So, yeah. Don't ask me why that came about. That's what happened. So we just got to go with what's rocking. It is what it is. We're going to take us a quick commercial break. We're going to swing back through here. We're going to review the AEW pay-per-view All Out. And then after that, my good people, it is time to trash Wrestle Trash Loser. Because I think it was garbage, and I will be taking every pot shot that I can at that garbage show that they put together. I felt like it was going to be garbage. And I was right. And all I can say to that is,
damn! And it gets no better because now we're on a road to Crown Jewel in Perth.
Let's go.
Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We will see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say lend playmaking your ears as he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come to know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on YouTube and where you can find podcasts. Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Whether it's the men's college game,
the way that this season has been going, anything is possible.
The women's college game,
and how passionate Angel Reese was at that press conference. They got their mojo now.
The WNBA,
AJ Wilson, Brianna Stewart, 1 and 2, followed by Brittany Griner, Aaliyah Boston, Jackie Young,
or the NBA.
The Lakers had a 0.8 chance of winning.
And then what happened in the fourth quarter?
LeBron James by himself outdid the Clippers.
You will get any and all of the information right at your fingertips or your earlobes. Join the Playmaker as he breaks down all things basketball in Shooting Lights Out on the Playmaker's blog, network, YouTube channel, and where you can find podcasts.
All right, good people, we are back in the building. AEW All Out. Took a second for that to pop up as well. They've been tripping on me today. So let's start with the I'm trying to figure out where I want to start at. Okay, yeah, we can stop here. We can start here. All right, so they had a Saturday tailgate brawl. Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs from the Ops, two-thirds of the champions, against the workhorsemen Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake. And, of course, the Ops won that match. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They are tripping on the results on this joint, man. What is going on? Okay, there we go. All right. It just took a second. It would take a second to load. All right. We also had on the tailgate brawl, and this is like the pre-show, but I just go them real quick. Daniel Garcia defeated Katsuyori Shibata via pinfall. Of course, he had Marina Shafir. That was the help. We had Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Hologram. They're all the conglomeration. It's a horrible name for a group. Versus the Frat House, which is Preston Vance, Griff Garrison, and this guy named Cole Carter. Of course, Roger Strong, the conglomeration team, won. All right, and the last match was a tornado tailgate brawl. So I just want to say there's always matches that make me say yes. There are matches that are full of cakes and all the loveliness that I enjoy. This match, I just want to give to people. Mina Shirakawa, Willow Nightingale, Queen Amanat, and Harley Cameron were on one team. This is a team that is full of cakes and also a couple of door knockers. So a very nice team on that side. The other side, Megan Bain, Penelope Ford, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue. Now, I want to say, for those of you who may not remember Julia Hart, it's been a while since you've seen her and everything, Julia got some little cakes on her, too. She got some little nice cupcakes. And Sky Blue as well got some nice cakes. So this was a match that had, I think, 7 to 8 solid pairs of cakes. And for the one questionable set of cakes, the door knockers were there to, supplicate for what was not there. So, or might possibly not there. It was hard to follow everything because it was just so much cakeage. But the Minish Hirakawa, Willow Nightingale, Queen Amanat, and Harley Cameron won the, I call it the Tornado Cake Battle Brawl. But they won that match via pinfall. All right, then we had Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, or I just call him Edge Christian, versus FTR. Of course, Copeland and Cage won. Beth Phoenix came out and helped them win. Then we had Eddie Kingston versus Big Bill with Brian Keith. And, of course, Eddie Kingston won. I'm kind of leaving off some of the after-bell shenanigans because they don't really have anything to do with the actual match. They just, it's like AEW just wanted to have shenanigans after almost every match. Tables and tax match. Mark Briscoe defeated MJF because MJF, of course, got too cocky and lost. And a surprise. I'm going to say the second surprise of the night because we haven't got to the first one yet. We had a trios match between Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. I forgot what they called themselves, the something. Against the Hurt Syndicate. The Hurt Syndicate lost because Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin got taken out, and then they dog walked MVP and pinned him. So, of course, that's going to drag on. Thank you. Because that's all we wanted. All right, then we had a AEW TBS Championship match. Mercedes Moné against Riho, the first ever AEW Women's World Heavyweight Championship. Mercedes Moné is still champion. She beat Rio. All right, we had an AEW Unified Championship Tournament final three-way match. We actually got the other people in because remember we were talking last week and we didn't have all the people. So Kazuchika Okada ended up winning against Konosuke Takeshita and Mascara Dorada. Takeshita walked out when Okada won, so he's not too happy with that. But Okada, for now, a fellow member of the Don Callis family with Takeshita, won, but I don't think Takeshita's going to be there much longer. Coffin match, John Moxley defeats Darby Allin.
Yeah, he won the match, but ain't how it ended.
No, it's not how it ended. Go ahead and tell the people how it ended, sir.
Darby got out of the casket, put John Moxley in a body bag halfway, and then set the bag on fire.
All right, so
Tony Khan, you were smoking
AEW Women's World Championship four-way match. Chris Statlander ended up beating Thomas on Jamie Hayter and Thekla. So we have a new champion, Chris Statlander. Playmaker, would you like to tell the people how Chris Statlander won that match?
No, I do not. Because I'm still sitting here to this day trying to figure out. They actually ended Tony Storm's ring.
Okay. World Tag Team Championship four-way ladder match. Brodito defeated the Young Bucks, the Don Callis family, which was Josh Alexander and Heichiro, and Jet Speed, Speedball Mike Bailey, and Kevin Knight. So they are still champions as well. All right, then we had the AEW World Championship match. In this match, thanks to the last episode of Dynamite, which I will give Hangman Page credit for, he had a clause put into the contract that if any member of the Don Callis family interfered, Cal Fletcher would not only be disqualified for the match, but he would also be stripped of his TNT championship. So that kept like 30 people out of the match. So Hangman Adam Page did defeat Kyle Fletcher to retain the championship. So I'm really shocked that Thomas Tony Storm lost, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I'm shocked that it happened, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, it kind of made sense just from the point of storytelling is easier once you actually now open up more storylines because you have more people that can now face for the championship that had already lost to Tony Storm. Doing the four-way makes sense because what's the important part about a four-way match? You don't have to be the champion to win the championship. Any thoughts on All Out, Playmaker?
So, All Out was interesting. I wouldn't say knock your socks off. So, but they...
Yeah, they wrestled the loser.
But, you know, they gave you an appetizer for Saturday because, you know, people was watching football and then you had to make sure if you had opportunity to catch yourself All Out. And then later on that night, you had WrestlePalooza. So, you know, okay. For what a busy day that it was, pretty good job. Pretty good job. I say pretty good because not a lot of people is talking about.
Oh, yeah, they call themselves the Demand. That's what Ricochet and the Gates of Agony call themselves, the Demand.
Can we demand for them to take their mouth shut for even come up with that damn name?
So those of y'all who not aware, Chris Statlander actually pinned Tony Storm with a seatbelt pin. And then Storm had a smile on her face as she left up the ramp. She kept looking back at Chris Statlander, and then Harley Cameron came out to celebrate with Statlander, who is now your world women's world champion. Since Playmaker did not want to give y'all that information because he's still upset.
No, that's it. This is done. I hope they know what they're doing. I hope they know what they're doing.
Well, she can't be the champion forever.
I know that. I'm just... When you make that move, you got to commit to it. That's all I'm saying. When you make that move, you got to commit to it.
And also, shout out to Real Wise Radio. Everybody listening on Real Wise Radio. If you're listening from any other source, please, please, please make sure that you hop on over to at Real Play Callers on YouTube and at the Playmakers Blog Network as well on YouTube. And tune in. And if you're not watching on Shady Sports, hop on over to Shady Sports at Shady Sports Network on YouTube. Support your boys. Support what we got going on. You know what I mean? So that we can continue to bring you our own egregious takes on professional wrestling. So I think that wraps up AEW as well. So that's going to give us a nice amount of time here to bash WrestlePalooza. And then if there's anything else you want to talk about before that, we'll be more than happy to do so. Would you like to take another commercial break, or did you want to just begin the thrashing?
Yeah, take a commercial break. Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon, go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join. Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. No, oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right. We are back.
So, since my co-host is ready to trash, get all the trashiness out on WWE. Let me start them up, okay? To all you jack butts out there who was calling for the demise of Wade Barrett, Kumakan, who was calling Wrestlepalooza on Sunday? On Saturday.
Wade Barrett.
I thought he was done. I thought we were told he was done.
That's what we were told by people with no real knowledge.
He was told he was done. Oh, and by the way, take a guess who's on commentary for Monday Night Raw right now.
Who's on for Monday Night Raw? I'm not watching that right now.
Let's take a guess. Let's take a guess.
Pat McAfee?
No. Wade Barrett. So the demise of Wade Barrett? Not true. Just thought I'd get that out the way. Since you read the trash WWE, start with the people who wanted to call it the demise of Wade Barrett.
I can rock with that.
Stop trying to cancel people. Now let's get to the rest of Palooza. This put together all so quickly event because, no, we don't want to wait till WrestleMania to make the move to ESPN. Let's do it in September, you know, where you have the NFL season going on, you have college football season going on. Let's do it then. Let's do it in Indianapolis. Let's do it at Gainesville House, and we're going to put on this great show. Did I miss anything?
No.
I hit all the points. Okay. Just want to make sure I hit all the points before I go in. Just want to make sure. So, going into Wrestlepalooza, which was last Monday when we was talking to y'all, what was the main event supposed to be?
It's supposed to be Uso Crazy?
No, it's supposed to be Brock Lesnar and John Cena was supposed to be the main event.
Was it?
That was supposed to be the main event, and then all of a sudden, Captain America had to make sure that he was on the card, and then he became the main event. Yeah, yo, guys, the reason why that entire card got changed around. They had to make sure QB1 was on the card.
Well, I mean, is that his fault or is that the company's fault for not putting him on there to begin with?
Depends on how you want to look at it. Like I say, depends on how you want to look at it. You look at it from your point of view, should have already been announced to be on the card. But when you took him out, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Whatever long it was when Drew McIntyre kicked his skull in through the announce table. You gave us no indication that he was coming back for Wrestlepalooza. And then, to my co-host's credit, because I know that's the main event, but I'm starting from that one. And to my co-host's credit, like he said, they put Drew McIntyre in a bad spot. Because one, we didn't know when Cody Rhodes was coming back. And two, you knew you had a PLE coming up. And three, you just threw this mess together out of nowhere. With signal to Kumakane, Drew McIntyre's not winning that title. And guess what happened? Drew McIntyre did not win the title. Oh, sir. Only main event.
So the problem here is, yeah, the problem here is simply this. If you're not going to give real opponents for Cody Rhodes, what is the point? What are we doing? They're not giving real opponents. If it's not going to be real opponents, all you're doing is you're just playing. You're playing around. You're basically saying, all I want to do is give Cody, feed Cody people. You have to take the time to actually make us believe this person is going to beat Cody. And that's going to take more than 2 weeks of them talking trash about Cody after they kick his face through an announce table.
And for those of
anybody can catch you slipping it.
And those of you who probably didn't understand what my coach is saying, he's basically saying you can't just have Drew McIntyre kick Cody Rhodes' head in, and Cody Rhodes disappear for some weeks. Have Drew McIntyre feud with Randy Orton, and all of a sudden Cody Rhodes comes back. Drew McIntyre gets a title shot, and we supposed to believe Drew McIntyre was supposed to win.
Drew McIntyre winning that match was less likely than John Cena beating Brock Lesnar.
But here's the interesting part that I found out before we started the show, sir. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's something that I ran across before we started the show. QB1 pitched for Drew McIntyre to win the title.
I can believe that. I mean, how you gonna beat 17 if you lose 16 times? Just kidding.
Which means
maybe not.
If this is true, that means Paul decided against it.
But here's the thing: even if Drew McIntyre won the belt, does that improve the show at all? The answer to that is no.
But I said it like that for Kuma King. I didn't say it like that because I'm actually going at Triple H. Because I understand why Triple H did that. Because there's another event coming up that me and Kuma King don't like. Even though it's not taking place in Saudi Arabia this time, it's taking place in Perth, Australia. That'll be one crown jewel. So you want to know why Cody Rhodes has that title? Because guess what? He has to defend his crown jewel championship against the other championship, who happens to be, what's his name again?
The one who
burns it down. Seth freaking Rollins.
The guy flash off losing at WrestlePalooza.
Yeah.
In the most.
We'll get to that. But I'm saying all that because Triple H did not want a Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins main event.
Why would he? Who wants to see that?
You can have a Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins main event at Perth.
Who would want to see that? I wouldn't.
You have to have Cody Rhodes versus Seth in Perth to main event.
Cody Rhodes.
So, in this opportunity, we can understand where our Triple H said, nah, not right now. Not really.
If that's true. You know, a lot of these stuff be rumors by some Cody Crybaby. He just wants to make Cody look good.
Yeah. If it's true, but if it's true, we can understand why Triple H said no. We can understand.
I would need proof of that. The Cody wants to lose the championship to somebody. I'm going to need proof of that.
That's why I say
that would hold championship. That boy.
Now, I would go to the aforementioned man that you want to go to, but I had to go to your other boy, sir.
Go ahead.
Your boy swung a chair one two times hard, huh? And those who don't know what I'm talking about one Jey Uso. He busts his own self open. That's why the match ended so chaotic. If you don't know, if you go back and you watch, it was the Usos versus the Bronze. When I say the Bronze, I mean Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. Jey Uso hit Bron Breakker with the chair, and it ricocheted right back to him, which busted him open. And that's why the match all of a sudden ended so chaotically. Now, we did pick the Bronze to win. But your thoughts on the reason why the Bronze won?
It only makes sense for the man. It was sluggish at the beginning. It started to build up. Jey busts himself open, and then all of a sudden everything gets crazy. And then, you know, the match is over and they lose. Like we all expected them to win. Like we expected them to. I ain't gonna say everybody, because some people might have thought they was gonna win. Especially the little ones. But I mean, WrestlePalooza as a whole to me was garbage. And this was another one of the garbage matches from it. And Jey had a lot to do with that by accidentally busting himself open. But this match didn't really look to be great before then.
So what I have here, I'm going to read, because ESPN has somebody that's going to critique these events, which, what's his name? If I can get his name. Andreas Hale. He is the guy who has on ESPN who I'm pretty sure does wrestling, because he was treating on All Out too. But this is what he said. Where is it? Oh, let me go back up. Went too far. The first half of the match was sluggish in action, as the focus primarily was on what liabilities LA Knights would provide as the special guest referee. But hey, LA Knight did a pretty good job to me. I'm calling him the match. He did give me a funny part, though. He did give me a funny part. I'm going to get to it in a minute. Surprisingly, he allowed both teams to introduce chairs and tables into the match. The action picked up after a near fall following a 1D from the Usos. Both teams landed a series of spears before Jey hit the Usos splash for a near fall on Bron Breakker. Somehow, Jey was busted open after hitting both Bronson Reed and Breakker with chair shots, which led to a awkward delay before Breakker speared Jey. Breakker then speared both Usos to a table, and Reed followed up with a tsunami to seal the victory for the division. The slow early pace appeared to be heading towards a strong finish before Jey was busted open, which led to a disjointed finishing stretch. This wasn't a bad match, but the Usos have certainly had better outings.
Anything? I thought something good about the match was, I think the right people won.
Now, LA Knight did give me a laugh because Bronson Reed grabbed the chair first. LA Knight caught him and was like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Then Jimmy, he kicked Bronson Reed. He picked up the chair. LA Knight looked at Jimmy. He just walked away. I was like, all right, LA Knight, this is what we doing. LA Knight did give me my level tonight, though. He was locked away. He knew Jimmy had to change. He just walked away like, all right, I don't care. How you feel about LA Knight being a ref?
There's a little extra to it. I like how he was basically impartial. Because that's what you want. He got beef with Jay. He got beef with Division. So that wasn't a reason for him to have a partiality either way. But, you know, LA Knight always adds a little bit of the LA Knight flair to it. So I like that too.
Now let's get to this mixed tag team match. AJ Lee, first in the ring competition in a decade, teaming with her husband, CM Punk, to take on the husband duo of the Intercontinental Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, and her husband, the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth freaking Rollins. Hayes gave this match a C. I think he gave most of these matches a C. Yep. The tag team match we were talking about a C. The main event, what did he give the main event? He gave the main event. He gave the main event a C. Yeah. it was interesting to see AJ Lee. We wanted to see how AJ Lee would fare in her first match. I think, if I'm reading my co-host correctly, I think it went pretty much how we thought it was going to go. When you're out for like that from that long, 10 years, I kind of feel you might not be as flawless and fluid in the ring like you once were, because you got to work your way back into the flow of things.
And, you know, if you're going to do this, she should have had one match before this. And you should have had her working out at the performance center sooner than I'm sure she was. You didn't do a good job because you wanted the shock factor. I know that's what it was all about, getting the shock factor of her returning. But to have a good match, she would have needed to have had a match or two and some time at the training center, which it doesn't seem like she did have, obviously, for trying to, quote-unquote, hide that she was returning, even though everyone already knew that that was the case. So,
I mean, once Becky Lynch slapped CM Punk, we kind of figured what was coming.
Yeah. Right.
And those of you who try to play stupid and try to talk about Roxanne Perez, like, let's be for real. Roxanne Perez is a heel. They're not going to turn her just with CM Punk. Mm-hmm. How would that look? Oh, you know what? I'm going to be a babyface and help my daddy beat up Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. And then I'm going to go back to Judgment Day and have everybody hate me again. That wouldn't work. Now, I don't know about you, but I did enjoy the moment where the guys try to separate the ladies from beating each other, and then the guys try to start fighting, and the ladies try to separate each other, and then all four of them started fighting each other. I enjoyed that part.
That was a decent part. This was at least a decent match. I don't say that. It was at least a decent match.
But AJ Lee Punk got the win because of the Black Widow put it on the Becky Lynch. So now, sir, all the roads lead to a women's intercontinental championship match coming up sometime in the near future. Nope. You know what? I'm going to skip the best match on the card. We're going to go to the... We're gonna go to the way that the car should have ended, in my opinion. We'll see what you feel like. And I open with Brock Lesnar beating the brace off John Cena yet again.
My thing is, that obviously should have been the first match.
I thought it'd be better for him to finish that way. Everybody get to go home and it's looking stupid.
Well, I mean, it was going to be the least competitive match.
That was not competitive.
So you might as well put that one first, since it's going to be the least competitive. It always was going to be.
Oh, man. Could you imagine that post show? And yeah, all the kids crying and people just looking stupid because they just watched John Cena get destroyed. Oh, man. Which is actually even more of a... This is more of a slap from WWE. Because you had John Cena come out here with all them kids just to get destroyed.
That's all I got for you.
It's like, oh, so we're going to have all... I'm thinking... Oh, they got John Cena out here with all these kids. Okay, we might have something here. We might nah.
We have something, all right.
Nah, we watching Brock Lesnar beat the brace off this man.
We had John Cena get his ass whooped. That's what we had.
Oh man, that was funny. It was like, wow, he just got destroyed. Really? Again.
I mean, was there ever gonna be any other outcome? Not in my mind.
John Cena, you was 2-5 against Brock Lesnar. And then the match of the night. And the match of the night, it was time for us to crown a new women's champion. World champion, should I say? Let me be correct, politically correct here. A new women's world champion, because we all know that Naomi had to vacate the title due to pregnancy. And Stephanie Van Care versus Io Sky. I did say I need this match for a title, right? So I can actually have a finish.
You did. And you actually called the win, too.
Stephanie Van Care won, and I did not have to see Oscar or Kairi Sane interfere. That was a hell of a match.
It was.
I know Hell's giving it a B plus, but man, that was a great match.
That was the only match on this card that mattered, in my opinion, as far as the actual match. Like, you furthered a couple of storylines, but you didn't give good matches for most of the night. But this right here, that's a good match. Give it a chef's kiss.
The spitting corkscrew moonsault by Stephanie Van Care. Maybe people can start paying attention now. Nope. I seen her do it at NST. That's how I know she can do it. She pulled that out and then people were stunned. Like, they didn't know she had that in her orbital. See, that's why you got to look at NST, people.
These people don't be looking at NST. You know they don't.
And that was a great way to finish. Stephanie Van Care is the new WWE Women's World Champion.
Overall,
if you thought that was a surprise, that wasn't a surprise, though. The Undertaker appeared. Now, why is the Undertaker here at Indianapolis for? What we got going on with the Undertaker? What is he doing here? And we see Stephanie McMahon. She's sitting with the crowd, which doesn't bother us whatsoever, because I think she's enjoying sitting in the crowd and just being a fan of the show. But why is Undertaker and Stephanie like literally just looking at each other? What is going on here? And then Undertaker's also like, you following me? Instead with a funny response, I've been following you your whole life. Basically. And then he hit her with the first person to be inducted in the class of 2026 WWE Hall of Fame, Stephanie McMahon. Your thoughts when that news broke?
I mean, you look at it a couple different ways. I look at it like this. You're the boss's daughter, but you did have a good role within the company for a good amount of time, on there and behind the scenes. You are at least partly responsible for the women's revolution. You were the storyline face of ECW. Of course, McMahon Helmsley era. You were a wrestler yourself, won some, you know, some hardware as a wrestler yourself. And you've done a lot in other roles behind the scenes for the company. So I don't have a problem at all with Stephanie McMahon being in the Hall of Fame. Just her composite resume of work for the company. On the surface, she's the boss's daughter, blah, blah, blah. But if you really think about it and look at it, look at different areas and different things that she did in front and behind the camera, I mean, it's going to be hard for you to convince me that she doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
And I know why you said it.
Say maybe pretty... a little early. People can make the argument. But I think she's clearly done enough to be there.
I kind of figured why you went that route, because you, I think
it may be time.
We seen the same people make some comments about Stephanie, and it's like, have you been paying attention to what Stephanie has done throughout the years she's been involved with WWE?
Right.
Like, have you been, we not talking about nepotism here. This is not nepotism. This woman has been putting it, like he said, putting in work on the screen, behind the scenes. Okay. On the screen, she was the one to introduce the Women's Revolution. You know, Paige and Becky and Sasha Banks, aka Mercedes Moné, and Charlotte Flair. And matter of fact, this thing about it. When she got a ring, she just didn't get a ring with anybody. She got a ring with Trish Stratus. She got in the ring with a Nikki Bella. She got in the ring with a Ronda Rousey. She took after her father in that regard of what can I do to help build the product? And she did it. You want to talk about she's most famous for when it comes to WWE? Being the GM of SmackDown. Cool, you remember when she was the GM of SmackDown? SmackDown was fun to watch. And back then, you couldn't wait for Thursday night. You looked forward to Thursday night. What Stephanie's going to give us on SmackDown this week. So I am all for Stephanie McMahon to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm good. I appreciate it. Ain't be in an era where people say give the person their flowers while they're alive and don't wait till they're dead. Ain't we in that era? This is basically her husband saying, I'm giving you your flowers for what you did for the company. That's pretty much what it is.
You know, a lot of times he probably was involved in it because he was a wife, like he wasn't involved in him getting the second one. I mean, with him getting his last year, he probably wasn't even involved in the decision-making process.
She was involved, though. They played him real.
She was involved in his, but I mean, he might not have been involved in hers.
Yeah, you have a point there, but I know she was involved in his.
Yeah.
Ironically, with the Undertaker, that's why I believe that he was involved in this one, because ironically, the Undertaker is doing both.
But that would lead me to believe he wasn't involved. Just, you know, my thoughts.
But overall, address Palooza. Mr. Hayes of ESPN says, WWE was a Palooza final grade. C. And this is what he put. The excellent Vaquero versus Sky match saved the show from being totally average. It was a phenomenal display inside the square circle. Everything else was either underwhelming, the short rows, McIntyre match, or they set up for a future match, Lesnar dominating Cena, for a card that promised to have epic moments. It fell a little short of expectations. That's from Mr. Hales from ESPN. Cool, McCain.
C plus is too high for the show. This show is B and S.
When you say D, okay.
In my opinion. maybe a D plus. Came on here last week, and what I tell y'all, I think this show is garbage. I think it's going to be garbage. I'm not excited to watch it, and I was right. The only match I said would probably be decent was the Women's World Heavyweight Championship match, and it's the only one that was.
All right. And before we close this out, do you have something for me, sir?
I couldn't download it.
You couldn't download it. How you couldn't download it?
I can try again, though.
Oh, man.
I can try again.
Because this here was the most funniest thing I saw from the week. And it comes at the expense of somebody that I admire for what he does. But oh my gosh. What this man did on First Take on Friday. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. And it was funny to me how this happened. So let me see if I can pull it up. Because if I can pull it up, I'm going to show y'all what this man did.
Now let's see what I can hear.
All right, let's see if this works. Do y'all see that? No, no. Cool, you might have to bring that other thing up because this is hilarious.
There we go.
So Steven, because Triple H was in town to, you know, promote WrestlePalooza on Friday. Then they had Cody Rhodes, they had Seth Rollins, they had different superstars come through ESPN to promote WrestlePalooza as it was the first premium live event on ESPN. So Steven decided to do his A-list. Top five wrestlers of all time. And like you always say, the list is fluid. The list is fluid. I like what Jeff Savvy said one day. The list can be fluid, but it doesn't stop you from nonsense. Because this is what this list is. Nonsense. Number five, the Water Warriors, one of the greatest tag teams to ever step foot in a square circle. Number four, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Number three, Hollywood / Hulk Hogan. Number two, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And number one, Goldberg. Cool McCain, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell this list off first before I do.
Stephen A. Smith, you're a clown. You're definitely not a true wrestling fan. I mean, Road Warriors, eh. I wouldn't put them in my top five, but whatever. The Rock makes sense. Hulk Hogan, due to his current state of affairs, I would not have put him in my top five because I think how you are off camera also matters to you being a top quality person. So I wouldn't put him there. Ric Flair, if your Ric Flair is not in your top five, then your top five deserves to be burnt, spit on, and urinated on immediately. Goldberg on anybody's top five list is the biggest joke I've ever seen, especially number one. I mean, so many more wrestlers you could have put. Stephen A. Smith as a I'm going to use the politically correct terms. As a person of color, to only have one person of color on your top five list is kind of crazy to me. You could have went with a tie team like Doom or something to bolster your representation. Hulk Hogan should have definitely been off the list. So many more people you could have replaced him with. You could have went with, you know, like a Dusty Rhodes. so many more people, right? I'm going to sit here and take the time to name everybody. Goldberg should not be on this list. So there should be at least two new people on this list, right? You don't have John Cena on this list or Stone Cold. How can you not have either Stone Cold or John Cena on this list? And honestly, it's hard for me to put anybody over Ric Flair. This current list, if anybody's number one, I got to put the Nature Boy. Because Ric Flair was styling, profiling, and jet flying back when before I was born. And playmaker. But you know him. He stays relevant. Music. All the different companies he's been in, he's always had a strong performance. Champion a whole lot of times, right? When Reigns actually weren't just, you're going to win just so you can win and then lose it a few months later. Ric Flair made wrestling what it is today. We talk about Hulk Hogan and all that. Hulk Hogan helped WWE, but if we didn't have Ric Flair, there wouldn't have been a Hulk Hogan because there wouldn't have been somebody to start drawing people in. You can disagree with my statement. I do not care. Relevance, Hulk Hogan, yeah, but the off-field, just misogynistic, racist crap that he spews as Hulk Hogan pushes him down my list. But Flair, he got to be number one, bro. Like the amount of time he was a relevant wrestler and all that, he got to be number one. If he ain't number one, you just straight doodle butter, in my opinion. You might can make an argument for a few other people, but Flair not number one? Come on, man. The representation of your own race not really there? Like, what is you doing, Stephen A. Smith? What Stephen A. Smith is doing, and my co-host will, of course, talk about this, is called trolling. Do I think that he's stupid enough to really believe this list? No. If this truly is his top five, he will never cover wrestling, please, for ESPN. Don't even let him speak about pro wrestling anymore. That's all I got to say about that.
As he was doing this list, he says, World Warriors, number five. Okay. A lot of people talk about the War Warriors as one of the best tag teams to ever do it. I ain't going to park on that. Okay. The Ring, the Road Johnson, number four. That's my guy. That's my dude. Favorite wrestler of all time. Put him at number four. That's your opinion. But I'm not going to fight you for it. Because it's your list. Yeah. I see. I like where you're heading at. Hulk Hogan, number three. Everything my co-host said is I concur with. But at the same time, if you put Hulk Hogan in your top five, I'm not going to be the one to blow back on it because I know how much Hulk Hogan meant to the business. Just the business. But I do echo what McCullough said. So I'm not going to, you know, fight you about Hulk Hogan being number three or anywhere in the top five. I'm not going to do it. Ric Flair. Damn, so I ain't going to fight you about no damn Ric Flair. That is the nature, boy. Woo! To be the man, you gotta beat the man, all that good stuff, you know. All that. Oh no. You would never hear anything, no quarreling about me when it comes to a top five list and Ric Flair's on you. And not hear from me. I ain't gonna do it. And then we got the number one. I'm sitting here like, okay, is either Stone Cold or John Cena? Go. Why did Stephen A. Smith put Goldberg at number one? You ready for this answer?
Sure.
The man with 176 and zero before he had a loss.
Like I said, not allowed to talk wrestling in my presence anymore. If I see Stephen A. Smith and he says something about wrestling, channels changed. But honestly, I don't watch Stephen A. Smith anyway.
Uh,
I said on this program that when I first started watching wrestling, Goldberg was that dude for me, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I was little and I wasn't previous to everything that wrestling had to offer. So, you know, I went with what I saw, and Goldberg was that guy for me growing up. And then I got to know about Sting, and then I got to switch over to the WWF at the time, and I got to see The Rock and Austin and The Undertaker and Triple H and all these other guys. I started to get a better view of the wrestling landscape, okay? To come around to The Rock being my number one guy, Undertaker and Sting, you can go 2A, 2B, I don't care which order you want to put them in, but them two is like number two on my list because I love both of them that much. Correct? You want to go there, okay, that's you technically got like three people in there, so give me two more. Well, I am a big Randy Orton fan. I enjoy a good RKO, especially out of nowhere, more than anybody else. Okay, then you need a fifth person. Who would be my fifth person? You talking about me as I am a fifth guy of wrestling. Number five is up for grabs. You know, John Cena, you can go Roman Reigns, you can go anywhere. That's just my favorite people. But we talking about top five wrestlers of all time? Can you help me with an Olympian that used to wrestle? I can't think of his name right now.
Are you talking about the one that had a theme song that went like, you suck, you suck?
Yes, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. I believe his name would be one Kurt Angle. I mean,
Stephen A is older than me and you, right?
Stephen A is older about everybody. I know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he's older than us.
Did he not watch Kurt Angle wrestle?
He didn't go 187-0.
We talking about Kurt Angle here. A wrestling machine. Okay. I'm not doing favor. We're talking wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. There was a guy who was known as the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Until he got kicked in the head by Goldberg.
Unfortunately. What's his that guy name? Goldberg is
number one wrestler. He's not even safe. One, Bret Hart.
The excellence of execution.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing a couple of names out there, you know. Let me think of anybody else I can think of.
I know you ain't gonna forget Virgil Runnels.
I mean, who was the guy that is the Never Seen 17? I forgot that guy.
John Cena.
I mean, nobody has ever won 17 titles in the WWE. I mean, come on. I mean, of course, you know, the Nature Boy with Flair, you know, he speaks for itself. What about the guy that is probably known as the greatest character ever created in WWE? You know what? Remember that guy's name? I think we talked about him earlier.
What you mean, the Undertaker?
Oh yeah, the Undertaker, that guy. You know, he only wrestled for like what, almost three decades.
It might be this guy. He had a bad back injury. He was hard on drugs, but when he was hitting. He was hitting. Oof. He did his move that we used to call sweet chin music.
Oh, you talking about Mr. WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm. And if we want to talk about guys who had all the potential in the world, but unfortunately were gone too soon, but were still magnificent the time they were there, and whatever role you gave them, I think we talked about his older brother earlier.
Ooh, older brother.
At one point, he was known as the Black Heart.
Owen Hart.
Oh yeah, that guy.
I mean, and
one man that we played his catchphrase earlier was a champion in world championship wrestling of the African American persuasion. He went by the name Brooke at one point.
Ron Simmons.
That guy.
Good old Ron Simmons. Oh, you know, I mean, if you want to do a current, you want to do some current guy. I do know there's a guy who's known as phenomenal. I mean, the name says it by itself. Phenomenal.
You said this one earlier, but I just have to make sure that I reiterate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We do acknowledge the one and only Roman Reigns. And also, you got that guy whose name, who is known as phenomenal. I mean, they don't call him phenomenal for no reason.
They don't want none. Mr. AJ Styles.
You see all the names we just threw out there that are considered top wrestlers? Stephen A., do better. You got
There's another guy. She was actually talking to that you could have thrown on your top five.
Oh, yeah. And that guy who said, by the way, he said, mind if I break this down? So in his profession, the main thing Stephen A. does is piss people off, is what he said. And so, you know, he started off good. You know, he gave you your award, Warriors, you know, one of the greatest tag teams that ever do it. And he gave you The Rock, you know, The Rock and what he has done on and off the ring and all that stuff. Then you have Hulk Hogan, which most people ain't going to argue about, unless you me, Cool McCain, or Cole Johnson. And then you have the Nature Boy Ray Flair, and everybody knows how everybody feels about the Nature Boy Ray Flair. And then he Stephen A.'s it all up. But what will piss the most amount of people off? You put Goldberg in number one. And that guy was Triple H.
Stephen A. Smith was a big head troll.
That's basically what Triple H was saying. Pretty much no, Triple H was saying, what's the way for Stephen A. to get the most people to talk? Put Goldberg in number one.
I was thinking it got crazy, y'all.
I was going to say, because you sure took the camera. I'm like, what you finna say now? You put yourself on mute. He put himself on mute. This is crazy. Yeah, it's time to go.
That thing went all crazy on me, man.
Yeah, it's time to go. But Stephen A., yo, this is trash. Like Kimmy Martin said.
I thought you had something else to say.
I did. Go ahead. I already said it. Like okay. Kim Martin said, and that's a beautiful woman right there, Miss Kimberly Martin. Delicious trash.
Delicious trash. I ain't even mad at it. Good people, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and follow your boys on all the different platforms. You got questions, reach out to your boy at Cool McCain on Facebook, at Cool Underscore McCain on IG, Cool McCain on TikTok. We'll be back next week, of course, with more wrestling talking content. We'll break down, because hopefully we'll get a better PLE or pay-per-view out of TNA than what we got out of WWE WrestlePalooza. All Out, I didn't really have a problem with it. It was predictable, but one thing about AEW, and if you don't agree with this, I don't know what to tell you. AEW does a fantastic job of saying, you know what? We're going to give you quality matches. Now, the storylines may make no sense whatsoever, but it's going to be good matches. WWE gives you, we're going to push a storyline, but the match might be straight doodle butter. That's just what it is. TNA, I think, does a better job of melding the two as well as NXT. So, for my man Playmaker, the other half of the Monarchy, it's your boy Cool McCain. We're at episode 102 signing off. And as always, it's never where you start. It's always where you finish. Anything else from you, Playmaker?
Checking up the deuces.
We out.